Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to start with a discussion about taking vitamin D. You don't have to take it in a pill form or a capsule. A new study from the University of Sheffield, which is in the United Kingdom, says an oral spray is just as effective as taking a tablet, about 3,000 units a day for most people. However, if you're sick, or your immune system is challenged, it could go up to 25 or 50,000 units of vitamin D. This was published in the European Journal of Clinical Nutrition. It's just one of many that we're going to discuss today. Then we're going to have a look at several other aspects of our society. We're going to look at the COVID virus by the latest studies. And here's where you have to separate out your interest in being healthy from the people we trust, or at least should be able to trust. After all, Anthony Fauci, the director of the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Disease, which oversees our vaccine program, does all the funding for it, decides who gets the money, how much. But I'm saying you can't trust Anthony Fauci. I would never trust Anthony Fauci because I know what he did when I was doing my investigations on over-medicating AIDS patients and killing them with AZT at 1,500 milligrams a day. Let me put it another way. Today, if any doctor in the United States prescribed 1,500 milligrams of AZT, they would lose their license and probably go to jail because it would be inevitable you're going to kill the person. So we're trusting that same person today. So he says that a particular drug that's been around treating malaria is dangerous, doesn't work. And immediately the media, with all their high qualifications in science and reporting, says, yes, he's right. We cannot use that drug. Well, they're all wrong. Three separate studies have just been released this week, including a very good study showing it does work, and it's not lethal when used early and used in lower doses. And we have a bunch of doctors using it, saying that these are not holistic doctors. These are mainstream doctors. So we've been lied to. If we've been lied to about the nature of the treatment, the question is why? I'll share my points of view, and you can have a chance to share yours. But then what else are we being lied to, misled? Why are we being overtreated? Is anyone in the Orthodox community paying attention to the fact that we're killing patients who should not be dying, not of COVID? So we're going to explore this from several different points of view. And I'm going to have we're going to hear you listen to an ultra-Orthodox doctor from New York University Medical School Lagone Center. I wanted him to share what he has to say. It's about 2 minutes long because the drug saved his father's life, and he's used it on his own patients, and he's studied all the scientific literature on it. And it's interesting when Orthodox doctors challenge Orthodox doctors, when bad science is being supported, and the question is why? What's their motive? I'll get to that. I know the motive. Also, Matt Taibbi, he is being hammered. Whoa. He's like the Tucker Carlson, man. Tucker Carlson has everybody against him. He goes after everybody. I mean, have you ever heard a guy in the history of television put photographs of the leading, most powerful senators and House members, all Republicans, all conservative, including Lindsey Graham, the most powerful, and say, vote these people out of office? They're no good. No, and then in the next hour, Sean Hannity interviews Lindsey Graham. Now, that's a death sentence. You're killing your career. I don't care who you are. He's still there. Why? How is it? On some things, I feel he's completely wrong. But on this, he is completely right. He is the only journalist I know of in television to tell the truth about certain issues, including the COVID virus. On this, he is correct. So we're going to take a look at that, but we're going to look at the Matt Taibbi article. Now, Matt Taibbi, if you don't know who he is, he's written some spectacular articles for Rolling Stone. He's right there with Chris Hedges. He's articulate. He is uncompromising in the truth. And if he has to do battle like Glenn Greenwald, he'll do battle with the left, even though historically you would say, well, he is, you know, a consummate liberal. So right now the liberals are attacking any other liberal or progressive that is not singing in their choir. So I'm going to share with you Matt Tabibi's article, at least some of it, because this white fragility author, this is the most nutso book you'd ever read. I mean, my God, if this was a student of mine at university, I would have failed this woman. Yet she's a university professor, but boy, has she hit the sweet spot with the best-selling book in America by letting everyone know if you're white, you are born of sin. You're racist. No matter what you do, you can never, no matter what, if you spent your entire life, you can never undo being a racist because you're white. And with that pejorative comes, and that moniker that you are a racist, comes everything else that society would deem is of a negative nature. Because what do we think of someone who is a racist? So I want you to give some thought to this. How far wrong could a movement go before there are no boundaries that it will not exceed for its ideological and political purposes? Because that's all this is about. It's ideology and it's politics. Matt Tabibi deconstructs it. Then you'll have a chance to call in and challenge Matt Tabibi or agree with him. I don't censor. I let people have their own point of view. And then for those of you who absolutely positively want to roll up your arm because you want the government to give you a vaccine, because you believe the government would never lie, has your own interests at heart. Well, I'm just the opposite. I don't believe a damn thing any government or politician ever says because I've never found them to be honest. The New York Times, they can't be honest about anything except maybe a ballgame score. I'll tell you, God, the entire our society is so screwed. We are such a pathologically dysfunctional society. Doesn't mean we're all bad. We're not. Doesn't mean there's not a lot of love and kindness that we have that. But it does mean that those are not the people in power. If only the right people were in power, we'd have a wonderful society. There'd be no poverty. There'd be no hungry children. There'd be no racism. There'd be no misogyny. There'd be no income inequality. But none of us have any power. You don't have power. I don't have power. We don't decide elections. And unfortunately, the people who do believe in the system. Well, what if the system is wrong about everything? And when I say everything, I make no exceptions. Wrong about how to prepare for a hurricane. They've never gotten it right. How to stop wars around the world. We've started 61 wars since World War II and killed over 20 million people. How about ending slavery? Nike uses labor that by any political or spiritual notion would be considered slavery. They pay these people not enough to even buy food for their families. And yet Nike gives multi-million dollar contracts to athletes. And no one says, well, hold on a second. I support you in being against racism. You're on the right side of history. Why in the hell are you taking money from a company that got it through slavery? Oh, we can't ask that question. Gee whiz. Why not? Why can't we even have open, honest discussions about anything? Vaccines are good, and we all should have them, and there's not enough of them. And by God, if they have 1,000 in the pipeline, they actually had about 300, then we should take every one knowing that those are for our best interest. Yeah. There were no people who were anti-vaccine. Oh, until they died, their children died, their children ended up with 8 hours a day of diarrhea, they ended up bankrupt. Yeah, and then suddenly they became, what happened? Well, what happened was you trusted the government. That's on you, buddy. You believed in authority figures. That's double down on you. You've lived in intentional ignorance about everything in your life except what was good for you and getting functional and making a living. That's again on you. So isn't it time we just grew up and became mature enough to have civil conversations about what really is true and what works and stop this political monitoring to get some moron, some completely seen out idiot in office? Look for someone in a third party that actually represents the people, represents union, represents human rights, represents women's rights, represents all rights, as if all people should be honored? Oh, no, we can't do that. That's way beyond our pay grade. in an intellectual capacity. So we pretend to be something we're not, civilized. So this whole issue is going to blow up in the next 6 months. Mark my words on it. So we're going to deal with it today. That's what we do. We start with health and nutrition. And that's because we all benefit when we make good choices and we don't benefit when we don't. I was interviewed yesterday, and the person in the interview says, well, Gary, with COVID virus, surely now we're going to have kind of like a paradigm shift. The Marilyn Ferguson, the consciousness of so many people is going to be repositioned, that the entire medical paradigm, the health paradigm, shifts to something good. I said, no, it never has and never will. It's not possible. You're asking people to change their perception of what they want and how they feel when they have it. That means we're in a completely addicted nation. I mean, we're addicted to everything. And that's because we don't want to go through changing the choices we've made to something we cannot pretend to know the outcome. If I don't know what it's going to be like, then why should I try it? I know what it's like eating my hamburgers and hot dogs and drinking my colas or having my martini or having my cocaine or having my marijuana. I know what that's like, you say. I don't know what hell's going to be like if I have to get off that stuff. I don't end up sweating and projectile vomiting in a room. So I'll just kind of try to control it. Yeah. When was the last time we controlled our addiction to buying crap that we don't need, spending money and creating debt we can't afford, trusting in people that we should never, these are sociopaths, we should never have trusted them, watching media that we know is biased, listening to these preachers that want a $60 million jet, true story, so they can be closer to God when they're praying. Of course you are. So nice you're that close to God. Wow, if only one of those engines will go out, listen, see who you pray to on your way down. Maybe God will listen to your prayers and lift you right back up again. Oh, everything is just, God. Oh, the fantasies. It's like we're all 60 years old walking around with a three-year-old brain or a terrible two brain. So you try to get people past that perception of their reality, and then you see the challenge we have. So no, the reality is 97% of the American population make regular, daily, wrong choices by intent. So they're not going to change because of a coronavirus. You know, mind you, it took a coronavirus just to get people to wash their hands. So this is where we're at. For those of you who are making yourself conscious, even if you have to go through embarrassment or some form of self-humiliation to realize how long you were supporting something was just simply wrong and against your and everyone else's best interest, like eating meat, then there is certainly hope. Because there's about, more or less, 3 to 5% of the American population who really got it going in the right direction. And the rest are not going to change, no matter what the circumstance, because they'll never be in enough pain, no matter what happens to them. They'll go through fires, their home will be burned down, they'll go through flooding with hurricanes, they'll go through heat that is so scorching they can't go outside, like the people living in Nevada and Arizona and Southern California, Southern Texas. They'll go through everything wrong and they won't move. And you'll try to figure out, why aren't you doing something? Why aren't you moving? There's so many good places and sustainable places to live. Nope, I ain't going to move. Why not? And then you get the gibberish. Anyhow, we need to do one thing. Take your vitamin C and take your vitamin D. Now, how much you take depends upon your age, your immune system, whether you have any comorbidities, whether you have, whether you're in good health, ideal health, poor health, or really bad health. So it could go anywhere from 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day to 20,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day. It could go from 3,000 units of vitamin D3 to 30,000 units of vitamin D3. So you have to be guided in that with a professional. There's lots of nutritionists and dietitians and health counselors and doctors who can help you with that. But it is a priority. Now they say that you can have vitamin D3 in a spray. Just put it up there and breathe it in through your nose. or through your mouth, and it does the job for you. That's good. From Mashhad University of Medical Sciences in Iran comes a study about COPD. Now, this is a good study, and that's the third leading cause of death worldwide. That's a big deal. And they found that intravenous magnesium can make an enormous difference. This was a randomized study. So we know that magnesium helps relax muscles in the body. It also helps the heart. It helps in a major way, it helps heart. Over 115 different things magnesium does for the heart. But it also helps the lungs. It helps it keep from going into those spasms. And so now, with this treatment using intravenous magnesium, you enhance the bronchodilator effect of inhaled beta-2 therapies. So magnesium is involved in many enzymatic processes. It relaxes your bronchial smooth muscles through its calcium channel blocking properties and inhibitory effects on the release of acetylcholine from neuromuscular junctions. So it's just keep that in your mind if you have COPD or know someone who does. Also, for those of you who've used Qigong, that's Qigong, you can manage COVID-19 in older adults. This is according to Massachusetts General Hospital and published in the peer-reviewed journal, the American Journal of Geriatric Psychiatry. So it's very positive. Qigong is a part of the integrative practices that you can manage COVID-19. Whether sick or well, it can help. So the severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus that caused the COVID-19 pandemic that we are now seeing spreading around the world, Qigong is a non-drug approach. It uses energy. It can move energy around the body. It's very powerful. It's been used for thousands of years. And from the Techno University of Munich, the gut bacteria, meaning good gut bacteria, healthy gut bacteria, if you're eating sauerkraut and yogurts, and taking your probiotics or prebiotics, like apple cider vinegar, that's great. You're improving your type 2 diabetes risk prediction. So good bacteria, less diabetes. So let's get our intestines filled with good bacteria, and that helps all over the body. And walking along a blue space, like a beach or lakes, benefits your mental health. This is from Barcelona Institute of Global Health. So it benefits your mood and well-being. It's associated with these short, frequent walks near bodies of water. Makes a big difference. Even walking around the reservoir in New York City, which is the middle of Central Park at 86th Street, every morning when I'd run around there training, you just look out over the water. It just has a calming effect. So whenever you can, walk around ponds, lakes, by the river, the ocean. It's good for you. This is published in Environmental Research. And also from Oxford University, which is in the United Kingdom, they found that the B complex is good against age-related brain wasting. And you should also have at the same time the omega-3 fatty acids. Take the two together. So B-complex, let's say 25 milligram B-complex, B1, B2, 6, or 25 milligrams, taken with omega-3 fatty acids is really, really good and for your brain. This is published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Also, a study finds a link between magnesium and high blood pressure, University of Hertford, which means that the more magnesium you have, the lower your risk of high blood pressure. It can mediate high blood pressure. That's important since we have so many people who have high blood pressure, which can lead to a stroke. And also from Montreal University, the carotenoids, you know, you get that in carrots and cauliflower and lettuce. Those carotenoids can lower your lung cancer risk, according to this study. by 25 to 35%. This was published in Frontiers in Oncology. So the more vegetables you have, the more juices you have. Remember, when you drink a glass of green juice, you're getting 10 times more of the carotenoids in your body than if you ate the vegetables, because the lignocellulose, the fibrous part of vegetables, not easy to digest. Good for you, but not easy to digest. The juices, you get 100% of the digestive factor. You're getting some vitamin C also that's good for you. So help prevent the cancer, lung cancer, by having your juices and your vegetables every day. That's the latest in health and healing. We are 21 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to go to a clip of a woman who worked, very successful job she had, selling pharmaceutical drugs to physicians. And then one day she had an epiphany, and it had to do with vaccines, and she took a look around. Because any person that wants to know the truth has to look at the independent science, not the New York Times. They're rabidly pro-vaccine, or the Washington Post, or CNN, or any of the pundits or medical doctors associated with the federal government. You have to be pro-vaccine. All vaccines, no exceptions. All vaccines are safe and effective, no exceptions. Someone who may get injured is very rare, but it had to do with some susceptibility, probably the genes of the person and not the vaccine. It's all lies. Everything you've been told about vaccines is lies. There is no science supporting its safety and efficacy. Even the Supreme Court says they are inherently unsafe, but we went one step further. We've spent thousands and thousands and thousands of hours poring over every single study in the peer-reviewed literature on vaccines, and we looked at what no one else will talk about. No one ever in any debate will talk about toxicity, and go to the toxicological peer-reviewed journal articles, of which there are tens of thousands, and every single ingredient, every single vaccine is a toxic ingredient. Well, why don't you do this? Why don't you go to one of the pro-vaccine people like Anthony Fauci or Bill Gates, right? And take an MMR vaccine and a Gardasil vaccine. They recommend they're mandatory in California, thanks to Dr. Penn and the other people that are pro-vaccine. And simply say, in this office, this doctor's office, we're going to take the Gardasil vaccine and we're going to just squirt the ingredients in the syringe right into a spoon. We're going to have one spoon or tablespoon. So we got the MMR vaccine ingredients and we got the Gardasil ingredients. Now drink it. Go ahead. You don't have to get injected intramuscular. Just drink it. Drink the ingredients. Drink the mercury or polysorbate. Drink the embalming fluid, formaldehyde. Yeah. Drink the aborted fetal cells. Couldn't be contaminated, could they? There's no such thing as a sterile vaccine. It doesn't exist. No, you would not be able to do that, nor would any doctor do that. They could lose their license. But taking that same two ingredients and sticking them into a tiny little baby's arm, that's good science. No, that's terrible science. Our entire scientific evidence is a fraud. The entirety, I'm not making exceptions here, the entirety is based upon a fraud, that you do not need independent confirmation of any study, just the fact that a famous group or a famous physician or ghostwritten articles by famous people who wrote nothing and people who created the outcome by rejecting everything that wasn't positive, that you didn't see 100 studies were positive with terrible effects, take the good one. That's not science. That's committing a consumer fraud, in my opinion. But let me be specific. Quote, and this is from the National Vaccine Information Center, 81% of clinical trial volunteers suffer reactions to CanoSino Biologics COVID-19 vaccine that uses HEK293 human fetal cell lines. What's that mean? Quote, an experimental vaccine for COVID-19 is being developed by CanSino Biologics, Inc. in China, in partnership with Chinese Academy and Ministry of Medical Sciences Institute of Biotechnology, a phase 1 human clinical trial of the COVID-19 vaccine has been completed in China involving 108 volunteers, and they found that 81% of the 108 participants suffered at least one adverse reaction within 7 days after the vaccination. Of these 83% of the human subjects were in a low-dose group, 83% of another group were in a middle-aged group and a high-aged group, and they all suffered pain, fever, fatigue, headache, most common reactions. And that's just in a short trial for a short time after the vaccine. What would happen a year after the vaccine? So, have you heard about that? No. But there are ones that are going to have their vaccine out there. Now, this is another study. This is from GMWatch. CRISPR, C-R-I-S-P-R, gene editing, that's what everyone uses, in human embryos, quote, wrecks chromosomal mayhem, Nature Journal. Quote, in June, we reported on a study in which the gene editing technique CRISPR was used to edit human embryos. The study found that around half of the edited embryos contained major unintended edits in the form of deletions or additions to DNA directly adjacent to the edited gene. A gene editing expert and professor of molecular and cell biology at the University of California, Professor Umboff, commented on the study, quote, there's no sugarcoating this. This is a restraining order for all genome editors to stay the living daylights away from embryo editing, end quote. The study has not yet been peer-reviewed and is published in the preprint website BioRxiv. Now the journal Nature has drawn attention to two more preprint papers with similar findings to that above. Together, the three papers show that the use of the gene editing tool CRISPR, Cas9, to modify human embryos can induce large unwanted changes in the genome or at near the target site. Nature titled its article CRISPR Gene Editing in Human Embryos Wrecks Chromosomal Mayhem. Okay, why should that interest you? Because that's what most of these vaccines that are working on now for COVID are using. Just thought you should know. So that's part of what we're facing. I'm Gary Nall. From the latest scientific paper, first peer-review publication on MMRV vaccine, Priorix Tetra is finally released, and it's, well, I'll get to it. Just shows you what's going on with vaccines when you look at the actual studies. We're going to hear from a woman now, right after the break, who was pro-vaccine, pro-big pharma, pro-everything orthodox, until she had her own awakening. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
Pharmaceutical industry was as a pharmaceutical sales rep for Merck back when Vioxx was on the market. And when I used to rep Vioxx for Merck, and when it came out that Merck had falsified safety data, and Vioxx actually had twice the increase in heart attacks and strokes, people taking it, it really made me realize that there was a lot of corruption behind the scenes, and that just because something is on the market, a drug is on the market, doesn't mean it's safe. So after working for Merck, I was pretty disillusioned over the whole scandal, and I lived in Europe for 8 years, and I had my son over there, and I brought him back vaccine-free at 6 months to San Francisco, and when I went to a well visit, they pushed for vaccines, and at that point I hadn't done a lot of research in it, but I knew enough not to trust pharmaceutical drugs, and I asked to see a vaccine insert. And the doctor got very upset at me and claimed I didn't trust him. And he stormed out of the room, and the nurse let me know that I wasn't really welcome back in that clinic anymore. And that was a huge red flag for me, knowing what I knew from being a pharmaceutical sales rep before. And I started to do my research into vaccines and the ingredients and the flawed safety data. And what came to light was many things, but one of them was that aluminum is the main adjuvant in vaccines, in childhood vaccines. And I had experience with that, with researching that and the toxicity of aluminum, because my grandmother had breast cancer and the doctor biopsied her tissues and there were high levels of aluminum. And he told us that she needed to get off traditional deodorant and that the aluminum in there was linked to breast cancer. It was carcinogenic. So that was a big red flag for me when I realized those were in childhood vaccines, and I couldn't believe it, actually. And then I started to do more and more research, and I realized that the U.S. gives twice as many vaccines on the childhood schedule than most developed countries. And the real health crisis is the fact that our kids are sicker than any other country in the developed world. And this is despite spending more per capita on healthcare. So we have highest rates of SIDS, asthma, food allergies, ADHD, childhood leukemia, diabetes, type 1. And this, to me, was the true health crisis. So the more I dug into this, what I realized was vaccines are not for public health. It's really about profit, pharmaceutical company profit. And the thing about vaccines is that you don't have to do the same rigorous safety studies as you do for other pharmaceutical drugs, because they're classified as a public health measure versus a pharma drug. So for vaccines, they have a totally different type of safety study. It's very short in duration. It's not double-blind, placebo-based, which is the gold standard for pharmaceutical drugs. And vaccines aren't held to the same rigorous safety studies. So if you look into them, it's very easy to manipulate the data and present that as something that's safe. But if you really look into the studies and look into the toxicity of the adjuvants and the additives, you realize that the safety studies are not proving safety at all. In fact, there are a lot of studies on the other side showing that a lot of the additives in vaccines are very toxic, especially to children who have very immature immune systems. So as I dug more into the safety studies and saw how flawed they were, it really raised a red flag for me. And my son is now 4.5, and he's vaccine-free. And I really got motivated to get more into this fight when I realized the mandatory vaccination bills that were sweeping the country, over 138 states. And it's clear to me that it's definitely about profit over public health. And one of the things that I know is that a lot of pharmaceutical companies have lost blockbuster drugs. They've lost their patent recently in the last few years. So they're looking to make up their profit. And vaccines, because they have less safety studies, less rigorous, so therefore a lot less expensive to do and a lot less hurdles to get onto the market, coupled with the fact that pharmaceutical companies don't have any liability for vaccines. In fact, the only product in the U.S. that has no liability, so you cannot sue them if there's injury or death. So you put those two things together, and what you have is vaccines as a pharmaceutical drug with the highest profit margin available. And if you make those mandatory and you keep increasing the schedule, it's basically using our children to profit off of. And the pharmaceutical company is using vaccines as a new driver for profit. And this is really what's behind the mandatory vaccination bills. So one of the things that I'm often asked is, why do we not hear about this if, you know, this is true? And one of the things that I've found out in my research is that the U.S. is one of only two countries in the world that allow pharmaceutical companies to advertise directly to consumers. And I'm sure we've all seen the media and the advertisements for the pharmaceutical drugs. And what happens there is that it allows pharmaceutical companies to basically dictate what is shown to the media. Because when you give the media 30 to 40% of their advertising dollars, you basically control what they say. And there have been a lot of journalists and stories that have been censored, including the CDC whistleblower that came out in the end of 2014 basically saying that the CDC has covered up data showing that the MMR vaccine does, in fact, cause neurological damage, aka autism. And recently, there have been a lot of stories of different countries suing vaccine makers for injury and death, and even pulling vaccines off of the schedule, like Gardasil in Japan and Prevnar in China.
Okay, so there you have one person's experience. But an awful lot of people, if they did the same research that this woman did, would find similar results. And why is it that if we say we believe people, but we do not believe anyone in America, of the millions of parents who've ended up with injured parents or children or babies, we don't believe them? Where is this cognitive disconnect? Why? Yet if someone says that I drank an energy drink and ended up with high blood pressure or heart attack, then we would believe them. And then we put everything against the person who is the victim. Now they have to go up against the attorneys in the Justice Department and have to prove their case. And they have to do it in a very short period of time. If the child has a delayed adverse vaccine reaction, they're disqualified from being able to seek redress. We're talking about millions of people, millions of victims, and yet no advocates in the government, no advocates in the media. To the contrary, the media actually attacks these people. Now imagine, you're broke, there's no insurance that covers the expenses for your vaccine-injured child or daughter, let's say a teenager with Gardasil. Their whole lives are going to be adversely affected. Your life is going to be affected. And you have no advocates, and you're being attacked as an irresponsible person for suggesting that vaccines did this, because that would prevent other people from being made safe by taking vaccines. This is how absurd we are right now, and everything we're doing is just ass backwards. But when it comes to COVID, I'm going to share two interviews with you. Now, one I shared yesterday in its full length. However, we were upgrading our servers because the enormous amount of new people coming to listen to the program, so a lot of people didn't have a chance to hear yesterday's show. It's up and working today now. We expanded it. So we've gotten you an edited version. This is an orthodox, mainstream, Texas board-certified physician who was using the word cure in treating COVID with a very inexpensive and safe medication. Listen to what he has to say.
Practicing in Texas for 28 years, when Governor Perry started a new task force called the Health Disparities Task Force, he asked me to be on that task force. And the purpose was to give him advice so that all Texans can have access to quality health care. And that was a two-year appointment. After 2 years, he asked me, would you stay on one more year? And so that happened year after year for a total of 7 years. And a lot of good things happened. But I also have been the medical expert for CBS affiliate in West Texas for over 20 years. And I do a regular weekly update on COVID on the Talk 50, 550 AM talk radio in West Texas. And we've been doing that since the beginning of this drama.
Wow, okay.
And so I'm also an author and do medical missions in other countries. And so I've seen a lot of disaster all over the world. But I want to say, echo everything that you said in your first 5 minutes. I agree 100%. We already have an answer for this. And to put things in perspective, let's look around the world. In the country of Taiwan, there's over 25 million people. They're stacked on top of each other. If they did social distancing, they'd be out in the ocean floating around.
Yeah.
There's not enough room for them to do social distancing. But guess how many people have died to date during the whole pandemic in Taiwan? 7. As many people as you can stack in a minivan going down Central Expressway. And so the next time your viewers see a minivan, think, oh, that's how many people have died in a country of 24 million people.
Now I'm going to tell you.
Yes, and I'm going to tell you why that's the situation. It's the situation also in Japan, 121 million people in Japan. They've had less than 1,000 people die during the whole pandemic. Singapore, only 12 people have died in the whole country during the whole pandemic. Iceland, Well, that's not possible according to what we're being told in the mainstream media, but that's reality. Anyone can look it up. You can even look at the Johns Hopkins COVID website and you'll see those numbers. They're hidden in there, but I'm pointing them out because the people in Texas need to hear good news. In Dallas, they need to hear good news, and I have good news.
I'm sure you do. Before I'm blown away by those numbers. I gave up trying to write them down. But you're going to tell us somehow eventually where we get to this point that in these other countries,
they're doing what I'm doing, Debbie.
Okay.
They're doing what I'm doing, which is not hydroxychloroquine, although that works. And so what they're doing is an inhaled steroid. And so my silver bullet is inhaled budesonide. The brand name originally was Pulmicort. Now it's generic. It's super cheap. It's about $200 for the total treatment if you pay cash. With insurance, many of my patients are not even having to pay for it. And you use a nebulizer machine. It's an asthma medicine. It's a respiratory anti-inflammatory for COVID, which is a respiratory inflammatory disease. And it works. 100% of my patients are alive. I've been treating this since March. And you use it for 5 minutes. So it takes 5 minutes to do a breathing treatment. You plug it in the machine in the wall. You put the medicine that's pre-mixed, pre-measured from the pharmacy into the little reservoir. You push the on button and you breathe it during 5 minutes during the commercial.
You just have a mask in your face and breathe.
You don't even have to have a mask. You can use a little mouthpiece that you hold in front of you.
Okay.
And you breathe it for 5 minutes. And I have, let me tell you what I've heard from patients when I started using this. They tell me, I feel better during the first treatment. And so their chest pain goes away. Their shortness of breath goes away. Their fever breaks. I'll give you an example. I have a patient who has two kinds of cancer. She calls me after 5 days of being flat on her back in her house, in the bed, can't get out of bed, fever won't break for 5 days. She says, I heard you on the radio, and would you please help me? It's on a Friday. She says, my granddaughter tested positive today, and I think I have it. And I said, I'm sure you do with all the symptoms you're describing. She is currently fighting two forms of lymphoma. Mm. She's on chemotherapy right now. She just had radiation a month before for the lymphoma. She should die according to what you hear from the CDC and World Health Organization. But I gave her that treatment that night. In the morning, her fever had broke. She had her first good night's sleep. Over the weekend, she recovers. On Monday, she works an 8-hour day. She still is fighting cancer, two forms of cancer, but she's cured of COVID. She's symptom-free. She has her two consecutive negative tests. That's a cure.
Okay, can you say the name of the drug again?
Budesonide.
Budesonide. And so is it done in an inhaler?
It's an inhaler. And so it does actually come as an inhaler, but I'm using it in a nebulizer machine. You know, you see preschool kids use this. It's safe that it's so safe. It's been out for over 20 years. It's been used on 2-pound premature babies safely without batting an eye. And the fragile elderly in nursing homes for over 20 years, there's no reservations with it. It doesn't cause any cardiac risk, like the accusation of hydroxychloroquine is a risk of heart trouble. Although that's ridiculous to make that accusation. This one doesn't even have that risk. And so I give that and an antibiotic to protect from secondary bacterial pneumonia. But let's talk about what COVID is. It's a respiratory virus that goes into the lungs, binds to ACE receptors in the lungs, and that triggers the release of inflammatory chemicals. And we call it a cytokine storm. That's a fancy word for inflammatory chemicals and enzymes that are released in the total body. And so with COVID, we have a killer that's never been around before. It is killing some people if they're not treated. And so for 50% of the people, they get it and they don't even know they had it. 50% of the people don't even know. But for the 20% that are at risk, there are treatments. We already have an answer. Let me tell you, you're right. Taiwan, 24 million people, they don't need to wait for a vaccine. They don't have a problem that you should vaccinate 24 million people for. They only had 7 die during the whole pandemic. We have some treatment plans and options that are already valid and working.
Okay, it is great news. As you said before we went on, great, great news. So you've been using this.
Okay, that's one. So let us be clear on this. This is a inexpensive, very safe drug that can be inhaled, and every patient treated has been successfully treated and their COVID condition reversed. Imagine if we were giving that in all the nursing homes for people who might be exposed, but what about people in a home with someone who is younger and going to be immune from any consequence and gives it to someone who is already sick? So now they're going to be competing. You see, it's not about finding an inexpensive drug. That's one drug that works. Now, here's a comment about another drug that works from a Dr. Mark Siegel, and I'm using him because he is kind of the spokesperson, a major orthodox and respected physician, not alternative, not at all. In fact, I wrote him a very challenging letter that he was wrong on a particular issue and on vitamin D not working. And I provided a long list, I mean a huge list, out of PubMed's peer-reviewed literature that he clearly had not taken the time to look at all the scientific literature on vitamin D and what it does for the immune system, because I'm interested in preventing a condition, and vitamin D will do that. But he is at least speaking on behalf of orthodox medicine, and he's angry. And he's angry because it's personal, because his own dad is alive because of the drug he took that was attacked by the New York Times, attacked by all the media simultaneously, all the pundits on television simultaneously, and all because Trump had said something positive about it. Trump knows nothing about anything. I mean, he's a functional illiterate. But anything to attack Trump instead of saving lives. They weaponized and politicalized an argument instead of looking at the science. Will this drug, properly used at the right time and in the right potency, a lower potency at the beginning of a treatment, will it save lives? And the answer is yes, and there are studies proving that. 3 in 1 week, and yet you won't see any of this in the mainstream media. And then scaring people again is the wrong thing. This is the first person you're going to hear is a professor from Stanford University, a head of a department, and he's looked at all the data, and he's angry. Now, mind you, this is not a holistic Gaia hypothesis person. This is a standard academic, highly respected, published in lots of journals, and he's come out swinging against misinformation that's been used in the COVID pandemic.
First of all, there's no reason to panic by any public official or they're disqualifying themselves from their position. But the data is what I want to talk about. And when we see this focus on more cases, it doesn't really matter how many cases. It only matters who gets the cases, because we know the infection fatality rate for people under 70 is 0.04% on the latest analysis. That's less than or equal to seasonal flu. The cases themselves should not be, and were never, the focus. It's only the tragic consequences of the cases. So when we look at these new cases in every state, the overwhelming majority are younger, healthier people. I think in Florida, the median age is 36. In Texas, it's something similar, or maybe 40. And that's really what we're thinking about here, is that it only matters if we cannot protect the high-risk people, which we are protecting. We're protecting. How do I know? Because the death rates are not going up. We realize we have to wait to have the story play out here. But right now, the cases have been going up for 3 weeks. We have no increase. In fact, we have a decrease in death rates. So, it doesn't matter if you get the illness, if you're going to fully recover and be fine from it. And that is what people must understand. For younger, healthier people, there's not a high risk from this disease at all.
And it's interesting to me because, you talk about the death rate and, I know it's a lagging indicator, but a lot of these tests are lagging indicators. Some people are not getting their test results for 7, 8, 9 days. And so, these death rates are only lagging by a few days. I'm consistent when you say, the more cases that if they're getting younger people, it's a good thing. When the CDC comes out and says, 10 times the number of people who have been confirmed to had COVID-19, that's probably the amount that had it. We applaud those numbers, like that's a great thing because that lowers the case fatality rate. But when we talk about new cases, everybody tends to panic a little bit.
Well, that's true. And I think that there's something else that goes unspoken. That is that when you have a lot of low-risk people get the infection, that's how you generate population immunity. This is the so-called herd immunity. People have been really mistaken about the number of people, by the way, that have had immunity, because immunity is not just based on antibodies. It's based on a larger number of people who have something called T-cell immunity. But I do want to comment on the hospitalizations, because when you look more than superficially right. at the data, which is necessary and should be demanded from our public health officials. When you look at Texas, for instance, yes, they have a lot of people in the hospital. But when I looked at every single hospital area in Texas today, 15 to 20% of people in the hospital as inpatients are COVID positive patients. That means 80 to 85% have nothing to do with COVID-19. And the same thing goes for some of these other states. There are people hospitalized, a large number, because they're tested as COVID positive, somehow they're categorized as COVID hospitalizations. That's a problem.
Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting because, you know, you're exactly right. You see headlines in the Los Angeles Times, the Riverside County Hospital's 99% capacity. Then you read into the article, only 30% are COVID patients. It's a little misleading. I want to put these numbers on the screen, the Gallup poll, because it says that, you know, people are concerned. If you look at this, you've got 19% are very worried about the lack of social distancing, totaling 54%, because 35% are moderately worried. The case numbers go up, Dr. Atlas, and you say not to panic. But clearly we're doing something wrong.
Well, what we're doing wrong is we have the wrong people in charge of our states, because they don't seem to understand it's not the superficial analysis that counts. And when they make the error that they should be beyond now of not consolidating the data in a critical manner, they need to communicate to people what the facts are. It's not a time to panic. It's not a high-risk disease for people under 70. It's certainly not a high-risk disease for people under 30 or 40 who almost all recover. So we have to look at that. And by the way, these policies of slight reopening in some of these states, that does not even correlate time-wise to these new cases. What correlates to the new cases, if it's from social mingling, is the large protests that were in these large cities. Somehow that goes unspoken. It's not the guy getting his hair cut in the barbershop that created all these thousands of cases. Yep. That's ridiculous.
And the data is starting to lean that way. Dr. Scott Atlas, good of you to join us, sir. Thank you.
Okay, now, so listen to what he was saying. When you look at the actual hospitalizations right now in New York, for example, which is utterly corrupt in how it's been dealing with the COVID at every level, you're told all these people are in the hospital, the hospital is being overwhelmed. And yet we didn't even have enough patients to put into a ship that could have held 1,000, the Javits Center that could have held almost an equal amount. Nobody was in either one. And all these other hospitals, you're finding out that people are afraid to go to the hospital when they needed to be there for selective surgeries and to have their treatment of their heart disease and cancers and diabetes, the things that they were living with, but they were terrified if they went to the hospital and they had a comorbidity, let's say they were overweight and they had heart disease, that really increased your risk of dying if you're exposed to the COVID virus. So they simply stayed at home. Now you have all these people going into the hospital because they think it's okay to go to the hospital, and now they're saying it's all COVID. It isn't. And also, we had the undercover investigation. It showed that every funeral home that was contacted was listing every single dead body that they got into their funeral home as COVID when there were no tests taken to determine that was true. Now, we only have, for the rest of our stations, we're out of time. But for PRN, I'm going to take you up because I want you to hear Dr. Mark Siegel about one drug that was intentionally demonized, and yet the scientific, independent scientific studies coming in now shows that it saves lives and done properly is not toxic.
Well, researchers at the Henry Ford Health System have released a new major study of hydroxychloroquine. They found that the drug's early use against coronavirus may cut the death rate in half. Amazing. Fox Medical contributor Dr. Mark Siegel joins us tonight to discuss this. Doctor, thanks so much for coming on. This is something we've talked about many times. We've heard about the horrors of hydroxychloroquine from the media. What do you make of this study?
This is a groundbreaking study, Tucker. I spoke to Dr. Steve Kalkanis, who is the chief academic officer at Henry Ford Health Systems, and he said, as you pointed out, that it cuts the death rate from COVID-19 in half in the 2,500 patients they studied. And they have another study coming up, 3,000 healthcare workers, to see if it can be used as a preventive. This is very big news, and it's a very big step in the right direction. Now, I also spoke to Congressman Michael Burgess of Texas today, who's a Republican leader of the House, as you know, Subcommittee on Health. And he said he's been getting calls from all over the country. Why isn't hydroxychloroquine available for frontline use at a time when the COVID outbreak pandemic is increasing in Texas? And of course, the answer he gave is politics. And Tucker, as you know, I gave it to my, I had a cardiologist prescribed it to my father, and he got, apparently got dramatically better. And I've given it to many patients in March and April who got better due to hydroxychloroquine likely. So why is the emergency use authorization been reversed on it? This study may change all of that, Tucker. There's a lot of pressure on the FDA tonight to reverse that, the emergency use authorization. Now, you can prescribe it off-label, but many physicians, according to Congressman Burgess, also Dr. Burgess for 30 years, by the way, is that there's pressure not to use it. So the FDA has to step up to the plate here. This appears to be a potential very, very usable treatment.
Okay. Just wanted to get that in, because these are mainstream doctors showing that there are two drugs that can help save lives, used properly, and no one wants you to use them within mainstream media. We'll be back tomorrow. I'll deal with Matt Taibbi's article tomorrow. Have a nice day, everyone.